Amen. Welcome. Thank you, worship team. Could you open your Bibles, please? We start a new series today. The book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Great to have you with us. I pray that you have a pen and pencil and Bible opened. Follow along with me. We're in Hebrews chapter 1. And the title of this morning's message is, just who is this Jesus the Christ? That's the question. I want to ask you a couple of questions throughout this morning's teaching. Does it really matter what you believe or who you believe in? I mean, does it make any difference? Over and over, and you'll hear it more so yourself, maybe you've even said, I hear that people are not into God as such or church or organized religion, but that they are indeed spiritual. They'll say, I'm a spiritual person. Just what does that actually mean? When someone says they are spiritual, one of the other pet words that I'm hearing in today's society in the time in which we live is the word tolerance. Tolerance. The word tolerant means liberal, broad-minded, willing to put up with beliefs opposed to one's convictions, and the allowance of something not wholly approved. Tolerance, in one sense, implies the compromise of one's convictions, a yielding of ground upon important issues. We're told to be a tolerant society. And indeed, we've become that way, haven't we? The world in which we live has become tolerant about divorce. As a young child growing up, the word divorce or divorcee was mentioned in a hush. Didn't know of anyone that actually was that way. We've become tolerant to the use of alcohol. We've become tolerant about delinquency. We've become tolerant about wickedness in high places. We just go, oh, well, here's another politician and this is what's happening. And we're not shocked by the things that occur. We're tolerant about immorality. It's what can be watched on television today or heard in the streets or on public transport. When I go back years as a child again, when the word shut up was considered an inappropriate word or one that you would get disciplined for. We're tolerant about crime. It just occurs. We just expect it. Shops and stores these days, they just build into their outgoings, their costs, expected shoplifting and damage, and that's just, well, we don't go after it. We put that in our bookings, our debits, and what's going to occur. That's it. We're just going to lose so much. We're tolerant about godlessness. You know, when you're back a few years again, everyone had some sort of denomination. You're a C of E or Roman Catholic, Presbyterian, Methodist. Each school would have scripture classes. Now we have the majority of people nearly in Australia who have no religion. And we've become tolerant about unbelief. So does it really matter when tragedy hits our lives, COVID-19, look what it's doing to the world. When sickness knocks on our door, when our life is coming to an end, we're in hospice, we're in the final moments, we're in the ICU unit, does it really matter what we believe in or on? Does it? Does it make any difference in the end? Let's apply that understanding of tolerance. Let's use that same argument and let's slide it over. This is the best way to define any truth in some matter, is to, it should be truth in every matter. It can't be just truth here. It's got to be truth all the way through in every subject matter. So let's apply that understanding of tolerance in the world today to some other matters to see if it indeed makes any difference what you believe in or on. Let's take science. Water boils at 212 degrees Fahrenheit at sea level. It is never 100 degrees nor 189 degrees, but always 212 degrees. Water freezes at 32 degrees, not at 23 or 31. The law of gravity. Objects heavier than air are always attracted to the center of the earth. They always go down, never up. In mathematics, the sum of 2 plus 2 is always 4, not 3 or 3 and 1 half. So if you were to ask me also, let's take it to another step. If you were to ask me, Keith, tell me how to get to the city of Canberra from Perth or from any place around Australia, the political capital of Australia. And I said, well, just take any road you please. They all lead there. Doesn't matter. You would question A, my sanity, and B, my truthfulness. But when we apply that same rule to the reason and purpose of our life, our existence, and whether it makes any difference after we die, the spiritual world mindset says, all roads lead to heaven. Do your best. Be sincere. You'll make it to heaven, no problems. Wrong. It's wrong. It makes a world of difference what you believe and who you believe in. And the book of Hebrews we begin this morning tells us just who is this Jesus the Christ. The background of the writing of the letter, many believe it's written to the Christians living in Rome. Some say it's written to Italians or Romans who are living out dispersed Christians, but majority of commentators say it's written to Christians living in Rome under the time of Caesar Nero, his rule. And at this time, his insanity, his insane rage and manic persecution of Christians was in full swing. It was at the time that this letter was written, in AD 65 to 68. The great fire in Rome, Nero had blamed upon the Christians, and thus the people of Rome too turned venomously, believing the lie, onto these innocent believers in Jesus Christ that they are at fault. It was during this time that the Apostle Peter and Paul died for their faith in Christ during this period when this letter was written. Three things were happening to the Christians at this time. They were Jewish background, had turned to Christ, the majority of them, received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. One, their fellow unbelieving Jews already scorned them for their conversion to Jesus Christ. They lost all contact, lost their jobs, any connection with the Jewish society, gone, because they'd followed Jesus Christ. Secondly, now their faith in Jesus Christ had the added persecution of the Roman people, with the blame falling on them for the fire in Rome, which they had nothing to do with. Thirdly, many of them were contemplating, with all these events, the persecution, the trials, the tribulations, to go, I'm going to return back to the old way. Back to the old way of worship. I'm going to go back to the synagogue. In order there I can find safety again, refuge, relief from the constant brutal persecution we're receiving as Christians. Then the letter of Hebrews arrived to do three things. One, to bolster their faith. Two, to firm their convictions. And three, to give them strength to endure in the face of persecution. The letter of Hebrews championed one who they believed in, Jesus Christ. And this letter shouted out from every page, every chapter, every verse and every word, Jesus is superior in everything. Don't turn to anything else. because it will be inferior. Whatever you turn to away from Jesus will be inferior to who he is. It told the readers just who indeed this Jesus Christ was. We'll look at that in the beginning shortly. But what of Christians today? Perhaps you're saying, well, Keith, what has this letter got to do with you and I living in Australia right now? To you and I living, to you who are living at home watching this morning, what's this letter good for? Four things. Christians worldwide can identify and can sense the heat rising in our increasing anti-Christ, anti-Christian culture. You can talk about meditation, you can talk about any other religion, just don't mention Jesus. You can say anything at work about any other religion, just don't mention Jesus. Don't go there. We need this letter now. Secondly, the pressure to conform in your workplace, your school, your everyday events of life, to bend to the values and priorities of this dark, immoral world in which we are now living. Help is in this letter. It tells us how to stay right. Thirdly, the temptation to abandon the faith. That's a big filter that's going right at this moment during the COVID-19 coronavirus. It's because people aren't getting their Sunday only fix. They're checking, getting the stamp ticked, well, I've been to church Sunday, that's it. Will they come back to worship? Will they return to the faith? Did they have faith in the first place? Or did they just have a religious Sunday experience? The temptation to abandon the faith, to abandon the church. You get accustomed to doing what you've been doing on Sundays now without having to go to church. This is ever constant. And wisdom are in the words of the book of Hebrews. And fourthly, the ever-pressing lure to live a more comfortable path of life. To bow to hedonism, to self-centeredness, and to do that which is right in your own eyes. Warning. The book of Hebrews has a warning in regard to this. The book of Hebrews shouts out to us to compare. If you're choosing to do any of those things, then look at Jesus Christ first, then compare him and who he is to everything that you're contemplating maybe going to, turning back to, leaving Jesus for. Be careful, the Bible says. The book of Hebrews says, don't be conned. What are we to compare? To compare all these things, the lure of the world, the desires of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, sin for a season, to the superior power, presence, and purpose and person of Jesus Christ, who is coming back soon. Be ready. Whatever trial or storm you might find yourself in this morning, you're battling. Hebrews says Jesus is superior. He's above it. It might be the harassing of an unbelieving family member. It might be a boss who just won't recognize your outstanding work and refuses to promote you. It might be a teacher that belittles you in class in front of your classmates because of your faith in Jesus Christ. Perhaps it's a wife or a husband who is jealous of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe it's a broken home. Maybe it's a shipwrecked marriage. Maybe it's the growing shadow of a serious illness. In all these, Jesus is superior. Or perhaps this morning it's your own personal baggage. This morning you're tempted to throw the towel in. You're actually watching and you've planned and thought about taking your own life to end things. This book is for you. Jesus Christ and Him alone is superior to your greatest challenge and your lowest depths. He knows you intimately. He cares for you deeply, and He alone has the power to save you completely. Why? because he's superior to everything. Let's now see how this is so. Hebrews 1, verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways, that word time, that's wording there, various times, over a period of time, spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by, and the word before the word son here in capital, it might be thee or his, is in italics, it's not in the original, so it actually says, spoke to us by son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. As fully God, as fully man, God incarnate, Jesus Christ, born of a virgin in Bethlehem. Jesus Christ is greater than all the prophets of old, first point. So to defect, to turn from Jesus, to go back to the old ways, to the ways of Judaism, the old ways, is to exchange him for things that are inferior. God, who at various times and various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. It says, remember I read out, it says by, spoken to us by son. No definite article there, no thee or his, but it says son. Now, the prophets of old spoke the word of God as God enlightened their hearts and said, this is the message, thus saith the Lord, they would say. But Jesus, in the first comparison, he is the word of God. The prophets spoke the word of God, but Jesus is actually the word of God. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. And the word became flesh. Jesus, his superiority. The prophets of old issued warnings, rebukes. They were the sole bearers of God's messages to humanity. They could not ignore. The messages from God came in various ways, but they also were incomplete. How's that? God always had more to say. But they were building to, leading to, pointing to a great crescendo, the arrival of Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh. When John the Baptist, being the last prophet to prepare the way for someone who was greater, whose sandals he was not worthy to tie, he was the end of the prophets. Just who is this Jesus the Christ? If you were asked that question, could you answer it truthfully? How would you answer it if someone said, tell me, who is this Jesus the Christ? Some people say, well, he's a teacher, a great teacher, probably the greatest teacher we've ever had. Some would say, well, he's a prophet. Islam recognizes Jesus as a prophet, a prophet. Many people say, well, Jesus, he's just a great man. I follow his teachings, what he does, you know, do good unto others as they would have you do unto them and that sort of thing. And, you know, no, he's not that. He won't accept that because he's better than that. He's superior to that. You see, it says in verse 2, in his person, Jesus has in these last, God has in these last days spoken to us by Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Jesus is heir of all things. What does that mean? The Father has willed everything to the Son. He made it, it's his. And we, you and I, are part of Christ's inheritance. Ephesians 1:11. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance and makes everything work out according to his plan. This explains the parable Jesus told in Matthew 13, for those of you who can remember, about a man who walked through a field. And in that field, he found a treasure. And he went and bought the field in order to take out the treasure. What is that parable about? Jesus bought the world with his own blood. Why? Because he wanted the world. No, because he wanted the treasure. What is the treasure? You and I. You are his inheritance. He's the heir of all things. All that Adam, the first Adam, lost in the Garden of Eden has been restored to Jesus. Jesus is the very Son of God. And not merely a man called by God. Every cult has this theme. It denies that Jesus is the Son of God. All the things that the book of Hebrews we're going to go through. It says he's just this, he's just a that. No, the Bible doesn't say that. And I want to warn you, be careful of Jehovah's Witnesses. Be careful of Mormons. Be careful of every cult that denies the deity of Jesus Christ. Because you're getting another Jesus, the Jesus of the 2 Corinthians. You'll get another spirit. You see, that's why this letter is important. Jesus said, in the last days, many will come in my name. He said, beware. Because you're going to get a $3 bill. You're going to get conned. And it matters which Jesus you follow. That's why you need the Word of God. That's why we're in it this morning, getting the detail about just who is this Jesus, the Christ. He is the very Son of God. He is God. Not merely a man called by God. He's not created by God. He is the Creator. It says that. Through whom also he made the worlds. Jesus is superior than the prophets in that he is the Creator of the universe. Now, in the very first page of the Bible, what does it say? In the beginning, God. What did God do? Created heaven and earth. Hebrews tells us what and who this was. It's Jesus Christ. He's the Creator of the universe. The beauty, the majesty of our world reveals its Creator, Jesus. Romans chapter 1. You can go out and look at the beautiful countryside of Australia, to our beaches, the bush, the mountains, over east, obviously. What do we have? The plains. We look at the heavens, the seas. We see the hand of Jesus Christ. It tells us of him. Without him, the Bible says, nothing was made that was made. He's not just a man. He's not the brother of Michael. He's not an angel. We'll get to that a little bit later next week. He is God in the flesh. It's important. He made you. David wrote in Psalm 139, from verse 13, I read, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body. He can only be talking about Jesus Christ, because the writer of Hebrews says that he is the Creator of all things. He made the worlds. In Psalm 139, verse 13, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Every man, every child in the world has a fingerprint that's different, that's unique only to that person. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. Every snowflake that falls has a unique pattern. No other snowflake is the same. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. He goes on to write, you watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. You see, God has a plan for your life, a purpose. This Jesus, this God, this Son of God does. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. God had a plan and a purpose before you even were born. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. God has you on his mind constantly. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand, and when I wake up, you're still with me. Jesus said, he is with us always. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Hebrews 1:3 says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. The brightness of his glory refers to, in the Old Testament, the Shekinah glory of God, the cloud that symbolized the very presence and power of God. It fell in the tabernacle. It fell in the temple. Jesus, Hebrews writer says, is the radiance of God's glory. What does that mean? Jesus is to the Father what the rays of the sun are to the sun. You cannot separate the rays of the sun from the sun. They're connected. You cannot separate Jesus' glory from the nature of God. He's the express image of his person. It's the word means the exact imprint. Our English word character comes from the Greek word translated image. In other words, literally, Jesus is the exact representation of the very substance of God. He is God. He's not a teacher. Yes, he taught. He's not a prophet. Yes, he prophesied. He is above all those things. He is the Son of God, God in the flesh. He is Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth. In John chapter 14, Philip said to Jesus, Jesus, could you just tell us what God the Father's like? Give us an idea. Draw a picture. Tell us, what's he look like? Jesus replied to Philip's question. Philip, have I been with you all this time, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Exact imprint. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Just who is this Jesus the Christ? Well, he's the creator of the universe, of all things. But also, there's more. It says, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Now, back in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 17, it says, and he, Jesus, is before all things, and in him all things consist. Now, in the laws of physics, there is a law by the name of Coulomb's law. And in that Coulomb's law, it says that like charges repel, unlike charges attract. In an atom, it contains protons, all of positive charges. Yet Coulomb's law states that like charges repel. Just like when you were at school and you were given two magnets in the science class, you try to get two positive poles to stay together, they just repel and push away. And so for years, scientists referred to the force that somehow held in an atom, the center of an atom, these positive charges together, these positive forces, as simply said, an unknown force. Well, the Bible tells us who this unknown force is. Jesus is literally holding the world together to stop it from coming apart. An atomic reaction. He holds it. Therefore, Jesus has the power to hold your life together today, if you'll trust him. He's doing it anyway. Is your life coming apart this morning? Is COVID-19 really added the pressure? You had problems before, marriage situations, jobs, you know, whatever you're involved in, whatever. But this COVID-19 is the straw that breaks the camel's back. It's the very thing that's just magnified what was there before. Is that you? Is your life coming apart? Is your marriage hanging by a thread? Is your relationship with your father or mother undone? Jesus has the power, just who this Jesus is. He has the power. He holds the world. It consists. He holds it together, stops it from blowing up. He has the power to both create, he's the creator of all things, to renew, to bring back to life, and he has the power to hold together that which is under strain to break. Will you call on him today in your life, in your situation? Call out to him. He'll hear you. He'll answer you. Just who is this Jesus the Christ? He's our high priest. When he had by himself purged, the word purged means having made a purification. We get our English word catharsis, means a thorough, more moral cleansing. When he had purged, when he had by himself purged our sins, Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. What does it say that? Jesus did this, he did it on himself. Yes, we understand that. We'll get to that. But then it says he sat down. We'll get to that. By himself he purged our sins, verse 3. Why? Because no one else could die for the sins of mankind. We're all sinners, all fallen short of the glory of God. So God became a man, put on the body of a man, came to our earth, born of a virgin. And he put on this body just so he could die. He was connected to us. He was our kinsman redeemer. He was the only one qualified, a man who had done no sin, to die for the sins of humanity. He alone was qualified. The first Adam undid humanity by his disobedience, plummeting this world, including you and I, into darkness, death, sin, and suffering. But Jesus, the last Adam, by his voluntary suffering and death on the cross, alone, by himself, drove out darkness, banished death for all those who would call on his name and trust in him for their forgiveness and salvation. Our redemption was complete and final. He paid our debt in full, tetelestai. It is finished. He rose from the dead on the third day, just as he said he would, having achieved our salvation, having paid the penalty of death. Death couldn't hold him. He paid the debt. Our redemption. But now you and I need to simply receive what he has done for us. Because there are many people, perhaps that's you watching today, you know about Jesus, but you've done nothing with him. You need to do something. You don't just become a Christian by osmosis, by putting your hand on the TV screen, by simply watching this live streaming. Doesn't make you a Christian. You need to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. We'll give you an opportunity at the end. This same Jesus alone, after he had done this, then sat down at the right hand of the Father in the throne room of heaven. Powerful theology. The priests in the old days would go in and out the temple. As they did the work in the tabernacle, in the temple, there was no place to be seated because their ministry just kept on going over and over and over. Over and over and over. Day after day, year after year. But Jesus sat down. Why? Because his sacrifice put an end to all sacrifices. That was the temple was done with. The old way was finished. He had finished. He sat down. The high priest sat down. And at the right hand of the Father, right hand, sign of strength, place of privilege. He is seating with God the Father in heaven. That means he is equal with God the Father in heaven. Finally, there he reigns as the King of Kings our King. Now, as our King rules the kingdom of God, we are His chosen people, a royal priesthood. He intercedes for us. He's working His work to bring us home to be with Him. So just who is this Jesus the Christ? When Jesus was transfigured with Peter and James and John watching, remember the two prophets that were alongside Him, Moses and Elijah. They see them. And after they see these two prophets talking to Jesus, the disciples heard a voice from heaven. They see Jesus glorified. And the voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Then it says these three important words, "Hear ye Him." Listen to Him. He's the Word. It's God in the flesh. That's what the writer of Hebrews says. God, who at various times and various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. Listen to Him. God the Father says to you today, you need to listen to what Jesus is saying. The prophets, they were all leading to Jesus. What is Jesus saying to you today? The very second verse in Hebrews 1 tells us that God is speaking to us now through His Son, Jesus Christ. Will you listen to His voice speaking to you at home this morning? He's telling you who He is. Why is that important? It's important for your very life now, the battles that you'll face, the plan that He has for you, the joy that He wants to give to you, and the eternal life that only He can present you with, that He wants you to have. He wants to tell you what He's done, and that He is your Savior and Lord and soon coming King. I love the way that Calvary Chapels teach through the Bible. You know why? Because when I was a kid going to church, most of what we heard was don't do this and do that. And so we thought that being a Christian was, well, if I don't do this and I do the good things, then that will get me to heaven. When, as I began to actually read the Bible, I found out that 99%, 90% of the Bible tells me what God has done. The part that I need to do is to receive what He's done and then obey what He asked me to do. Jesus is your Savior, this Jesus. He's your Lord. He's the soon coming King. So it doesn't matter what you believe or who you believe in the end. Really? Does it? Matthew 7:13, Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Narrow is the gate, difficult is the way, which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Water only ever boils at 212 degrees Fahrenheit at sea level. Water only freezes at 32 degrees. Objects heavier than air are always attracted to the center of the earth. They always go down. 2 plus 2 always adds up to 4. It matters if you want the truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You cannot get to heaven. You cannot know Christ. You can't have the power of God, the dwelling of the Holy Spirit in you, unless you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It matters when your life depends on it. If you're in the intensive care unit, you don't want the doctor to come up and go, "Well, you know, we've got a few things we might choose here, we might choose that. We don't know if they're going to..." They should all these things, you know, we give you a bit of cough serum, and we give you some Aspro, and we give you some this, and we'll throw them on. You know, surely all these medicines lead to being healthy. You go, "What?" No. Jesus Christ is superior to anything and everything else. If I'm in the intensive care unit, want the truth. I want to know that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I want to know that should I leave this world, I want to know where I'm going to go. That I'm guaranteed to go where I want to go. Jesus Christ is superior to anything and everything else. And He alone can get you through what you're struggling with now. And He alone has the power to cleanse you from all sin and to give you eternal life. Because Jesus alone is superior to everything. God is speaking through Him today to you. It is He who created all things, including you. By His power, the world is held together. He is the glue to you not coming apart. He alone saved us from our sins. He alone is seated at the right hand of the Father, seated in heaven, having finished our redemption. Done. Complete. Now, Jesus Christ was tolerant toward the sinner. He ate with them. But He was intolerant towards the evil that enslaves sinners. To the adulteress, Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you." Then He said, "Go and sin no more." John 8:11. He forgave her because He loved her. But He condemned sin because He loathed it with a holy hatred. Jesus Christ was so intolerant of sin that He died on the cross to free men from its power, you and I. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just who is this Jesus the Christ? He is the very Son of God. He is your Savior. He is the only Savior. Now, that you know who He is, what are you going to do about it? It's no use, Jesus said, you hearing the information, hearing the Word of God, and just walking away. Like a man who looks into the mirror and forget what he looks like. It's like a man who digs a house without laying a foundation. You hear it, but when the storms come, when the trouble comes, your house collapses, your marriage collapses, you collapse. But a wise man builds his house on the foundation of your house, of your life, has got to be Jesus Christ. He's the rock. Perhaps this morning you who are watching, maybe you have wandered from God. This is the first time you've tuned in for a long time. You've been thinking about God, you know. You've been scared to come back, and church being closed has made it possible for you to kind of sneak and watch because you don't think that you should go in, and you think, I can do this without being noticed. See, God knows you. Perhaps you have someone who sought things that are inferior and you walked away from God. This morning God is speaking to you by His Holy Spirit. You know that. Will you return to He who saved you? He who made you? He alone has the power to keep you from coming apart. Will you turn to Him? Jesus said, He will not crush the weakest reed or put out a flickering candle. Or perhaps this morning you've never walked with Jesus. You've not ever done that. You didn't know that. You've heard about Jesus. You didn't know who He was, but now you know. God's revealed Himself to you. You know who this Jesus is. You've never given Him your life. Today He calls you to come to Him. Jesus said, "Come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Will you come and be set free from the sins, the guilt, the shame that He alone removed, He purged when He died on the cross for you? Will you come this morning? If you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is the only way you get to know Him, to receive Him, to be forgiven, and to be guaranteed to go to heaven. It's by you praying, believing in your heart, praying with your mouth. Pray this prayer with me, will you? Repeat these words after me. Receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let's do that right now. Heavenly Father, forgive me of all my sins, please. Come into my life and fill me with your love and your grace. Set me free today from the power of those things that have chained me down. Jesus, I now know you. Be my Lord and Savior now, please. I pray and I ask in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, the Bible says, not I, the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you shall be saved. I want to welcome you to the family of God. If you prayed that prayer, we'd like to send you, like you to contact us. We'll send you a brand new Bible. We'd love to hear from you. Thank God for you, pray with you, send you some other literature. We want to welcome you. But perhaps you're a believer, you're a Christian today, you've been watching, and you're under pressure. Perhaps you've been persecuted. You're in a storm at this very time. Remember, Hebrews' letter came to the people at a time they needed it. Remember who your Savior is. He's greater than all the prophets. He's the very Word of God Himself. He's the Creator of heaven and earth. All powerful. He's the Holder of the universe. His strength is with you. He's your Savior. He's your Forgiver. Allow yourself to be forgiven by Him. He's the King of Kings. He's coming again soon to establish His kingdom. We want to thank you for being with us today. We do pray that God has spoken to you. We thank you for the opportunity of being in your homes and opening the Bible together. This Jesus is not just a man, he's not just a teacher. He is the very Son of God. He's the one that you need to have in your life, and I pray you did today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He watch over you. Join us again tonight at 6 p.m. as we have worship and the Word, and on Wednesday again. God bless you. Thank you.